Ready? Proverbs 11:30. Ready? 1, 2, begin. The fruit of the righteous. Well, okay, let's read again. Ready? Proverbs 11:30. Ready? 1, 2, begin. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Okay. Good morning, everyone. Is everyone okay? Okay. Proverbs 11:30 tells us that the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. That means the righteous here has to do with a Christian. Okay, in the Old Testament word for the righteous is a Christian, someone who lives for God. Okay? You know, the Bible says that every righteous man will have fruit. And that's something for us as we start this lesson. Because in soul winning, it's very, very important to have fruit. Okay, I'll just read. No, actually, I'll read later. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. What happened in the Garden of Eden? There were two trees, okay, that God put in there. The first tree was a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Yes? Okay, that was for Adam and Eve. God says you are not to eat from that tree. You realize that before there, God actually put the tree of life so that at any time they want to eat the fruit of the tree of life, literally, it's not some magical fantasy. God put that fruit there. So when Adam and Eve actually eat of the fruit, they live forever. Okay, let's turn to Genesis. Keep your finger in Proverbs 11, just to help you make the correlation between the idea of the tree of life in Genesis, in chapter 3, okay? And so, when Adam and Eve sinned, there was a problem. They still had access to the tree of life. And so, in God's mind, if these guys eat the tree of life, what's going to happen? Sin will continue forever because what God has set in place is not going to take it back. So what he did was in verse 22, Genesis 3:22, and the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil, and now let us put forth his hand and take also of the tree. Sorry, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Now that's a biblical teaching and thinking there. God says, look, these guys know about sin now, and if they're going to eat and get fruit, they're going to live forever. According to God's word, what did God do? Verse 23, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims, flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. There is a biblical teaching. From the beginning, God says, look, I cannot allow sin to continue forever. Not because God didn't love us, but because God had to deal with sin. Okay, God had to deal with sin. And so he says, no, I'm not going to allow people to live forever with sin. Okay, but then turning back to Proverbs 11:30, God says those who have trusted Christ, the spirit of life has been placed into them. Right? So when we die right now, where are we going to go when we trust Christ as our personal Savior? Okay, we go to heaven forever and ever and ever. And God says the fruit of the righteous is the same as what is in the Garden of Eden. It is a tree of life. That means that whoever partakes of that actually becomes encouraged. Can I say this? One of the things I've learned even in ministry and even in personal ministry, our responses and our way of doing things, if that person doesn't draw closer to God, we need to really look at how we do things. That is the standard in the Bible. All things must be done unto edification. Hebrews chapter 3. We need to provoke one another to love. Even our provoke, the word provoke in Hebrews chapter 10 is to irritate. Even my irritation of you needs to actually push you to the point of, I think you're right, I need to walk with God. Okay? And so, parents, when you teach your children or whoever, when you deal with the teens, for example, when whatever we say and do leads the teens or whoever to go elsewhere other than Christ, we need to really think, what are we doing? Okay, and so the fruit of the righteous, the Bible says, is a tree of life. I was teaching those who went for the June camp and talk about spiritual gifts. The real difference between spiritual gift and normal talents, the Lord has taught me, is a spiritual gift is when you exercise it, that person draws closer to God. That is the evidence that you have used your spiritual gifts. Not that we can do things in a proper way, You know, some people have different gifts like administration, mercy. Some people are very caring. When your caringness, listen, when the way you care does not point people to Christ but to yourself or to other ways, that is not a spiritual gift. It's not exercised in the correct way. Alright? Because in 1 Corinthians 7, the gifts of the Spirit are given to profit withal, to build up the body of Christ. Okay? Does that make sense? And so ultimately, our spiritual gift must draw people to God in any form. He may read the Bible more. He may make more effort to come to church. He may say, okay, I'll do something. I'll be more encouraging. Some change must happen in that life. Does that make sense? Okay? So the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Now when that happens, the second part is easy. He that winneth souls is wise. When your life is brimming with fruit, people will come and eat. Amen? Alright, like Auntie Alice is a good cook. Okay? Once she opens store only, we all patronize already, right? Right. Okay? You want to have a taste, you must come for youth camp. Okay? She's one of the cook. And it's true, you know? And whoever has a gift or a skill, people will be drawn to it. Right? Okay? So that's something we need to understand as we begin. Now let's look at John chapter 4. That will be our passage for today. The process of soul winning, lessons from the Lord Jesus Christ. There'll be other verses which I will use. But in John chapter 4, who knows what John chapter 4? Who can sing John chapter 4? Huh? Like the woman at the well, I was thinking. Okay, that's the whole basis of John chapter 4. Okay, so we'll be parked there. But the process of soul winning, I'm just be going through a few things. Then afterward, we might have a practice, okay, of how we talk to someone about Christ. Okay? Alright? Alright, so put your finger in John 4, let's turn to Mark 3:14. What is the first thing we need in the process of soul winning? Mark 3:14. When we started Ambassador Baptist Mission, one of the first things the Lord taught us was this verse. Okay? Let's read together. Mark 3:14. Ready? Mark 3:14. Ready? 1, 2. Begin. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, that he might send them forth to preach. Okay? The Lord Jesus Christ appointed the 12. For what purpose? For what purpose? To preach the gospel, right? He appointed the 12 to preach the gospel. What's the middle part of the verse? What's the middle part of the verse? That they might be with him. The first step to the soul winning process is this. You need and I need to be walking with God. We need to be walking with God. Many soul winners get discouraged because they want to do right. They go soul winning, but they forget that they need to spend time with God first. Okay? We can go tracting for years and years and no fruit because we don't have power. One of the things I'm desirous for, and I hope you are too, I'm not interested in just preaching. Lord, I need your power. I don't care how I present, but God's power must be on His Word. Must be on the things we do. When you study hard for the Lord. When you work hard for the Lord. And that God, you bring forth fruit. Of course, the honor and glory doesn't come to you, it goes to God. But you know, you get encouraged. But the part that they should be with Him, it's very important. It's a good example for us. You see, the disciples were with the Lord Jesus Christ for 3.5 years. It's an example of how when we get saved, say, Lord, I want to serve you. And so on a daily basis, we will read the Bible. Why? Because it is through the Bible God speaks to us, right? And we pray. When we pray, we speak to God. And that's the constant communication. When you wake up in the morning, you know, the first thing you need to do is to pray. I always pray this, Lord, thank you for allowing me another day to live. You could have died in your sleep. Did you know that? Many thousands of people die in their sleep. You know, can I encourage you at the beginning of the day, the moment you open your eyes, say, Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you. That I can have life one more day. And I can be a blessing to some. I can take care of my family. I can do the work. And some, I know some of us. Alright, here, Christians, remember, before we be a soul winner, you need to spend time with God. You need to spend time with God. Okay? So the first thing is you need to walk with God. Matthew 4:19, Jesus says, follow me and I will make you to become fishers of men. Follow me and I will make you to become fishers of men. When people choose to follow the world, they fish men, they bring men to be like the world. But when we spend time with Jesus, and you become more like Him, you bring the people to Him. Does that make sense? So when people are drawn to your life, they must be drawn to Christ, which is the most important thing. Okay? So the number one thing, you need to walk with God. Let's turn to John chapter 4. The number two thing is you need to go. You need to go. Okay? John chapter 4. John chapter 4 verse 4. Okay, John chapter 4 verse 4. It's very interesting because I'll read from verse 1, then you more or less get the context. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees has heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. It's interesting, you know, because the Bible says Jesus baptized more, but it wasn't him. It was the disciples. Okay? In this situation, it's an expression of Jesus' authority, all right, that the disciples were baptizing to him. Okay? And so, in verse number 3, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. In verse 4, and he must needs go through Samaria. That's interesting for John to put there. If you read the Gospel of John carefully, you will find that John sometimes goes into the scenario, sometimes he kind of zooms out to give a bigger perspective. Okay? Now, what John does here is that he's zooming out and he's looking into the mind of God and says, Jesus must needs go through Samaria. That is not what a normal Jew does. Jews and Gentiles are like cats and dogs, are like ducks and chicken. They cannot communicate, they cannot just cannot communicate with one another. Okay? The Jews hated the Samaritans so much. Basically, the Samaritans are half Jews. Okay, they're half Jews. The Samaritans hated the Jews and the Jews hated the Samaritans. Okay? To the point that they wouldn't even touch. You know, those people... I think there was one situation many, many years ago. There was this MP who shook hands with someone and then went to wash his hand. You know the story? So you may know the story. One MP went to shake hands with someone. Okay. I don't know lah. Let's not relate. MP. Okay, I'm recorded. MP. Okay. Went to shake hands with someone and wash his hand, and it was taken as a big issue. Okay. Now you know sometimes, have you seen people say, "Hey, you want to take something? Then they'll take a tissue, then they wrap their hands into take, as if that person has a disease or something. You know that kind of." Avoidance. That's how the Jews will respond to the Samaritans. There was just extreme hatred between the two. Okay? If you look at the map of Judea and Galilee, you find that Galilee is here, Judea is here, Samaria is right in the middle. You know what the Jews will do? They will not go into Samaritan country. They will go around. Okay? They're so prejudiced that even a little bit of their legs or shoes would touch Samaritan soil, they will dust it off. Okay? That was how much they hated each other. But you know what Jesus said? He must needs go through Samaria. You know what that teaches us? There ought to be never any prejudice against anyone, regardless of social status, medical condition, irregardless of religion, irregardless of race, okay? There is no one in this whole wide world that Jesus Christ didn't die for. As you travel down the bus route here, or taxi, or whatever, do you realize there's one man that's always walking around here? Next time, you'll keep your eyes open. There's one man that is very shaggy looking. He walks up and down this road. Anyone notices? Yes, agree. Anyone else? Next time, he will park himself generally at the bus stops. He will walk up and down. Sometimes he will be a bit further. Do you notice? You know, we need to reach him for Christ. It's been many weeks already. I've seen him, and every time when I walk drive by, I'll look out for him. He could be homeless, he could be, I don't know, maybe he's mentally unstable, I don't know. But you know, Jesus died for him too. Of course, ladies, I don't recommend you go and talk to him. okay? I think the guy is, we need to do something. He's been walking up and down. Let me ask you a question. What if I invited him to this church? Okay, if it's a guy in the situation, you know, guys, we need to actually take our responsibility. The lady, we cannot expect the ladies to talk to him. We need to talk to him. We need to take responsibility. Does that make sense? Jesus says, I must needs go through Samaria. I must go to a place where the Jew is hated. Why did Jesus, the Bible says, he must needs go through Samaria? Why? Those who know the story, why? Why? Because of the Samaritan woman. Think about that. Jesus breaks all prejudice just to reach one person. You know what? We need to understand that. I know we do have a, but you know what? We need to remove that for the sake of a soul, you know? And I don't know. But here, we need to go. Let's turn to Acts chapter 10. Read Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10 talks about the story of Cornelius. And if you look carefully at what is happening here, in Acts chapter 9 verse 43, the last verse, it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon the tanner. Okay, Peter was there. Okay, and so in chapter 10 verse 1, there was this guy, his name is Cornelius. I want us to listen carefully to this. Cornelius in verse 2 was a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Was he a religious man? Was he a Christian? Was he a Christian? He is not a Christian. I say again, he was a devout man, one that feared God. He gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always, but he is not a Christian and on his way to hell. How come? Because if you look at the context, God, because of his sincerity towards God, he was seeking God, although he didn't know God's name. What did God do? Spoke to him in a vision, alright? Remember, in those days, the Bible has not been completed yet. Okay? So this one, when the book of Acts, when they wrote the book, it's already happened. So God still spoke. In the Old Testament, not Old Testament, in the early parts of the, after Jesus left, still in visions and until the Bible was completed. Alright, so in verse 3, he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of the Lord coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius, and when he looked on him, he was afraid. Okay, what is it, Lord? Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon the tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Now that's the, you know, in Singaporean terms, you know what's that? Inefficiency. Since you are there, you must well tell him the gospel, right? Think about that. The angel is there, he knows about the gospel. But why did the angel come and say, I want you to go to this place, go and find this Peter, and he will tell you what to do? You know what's the lesson there? God uses men to share the gospel. God could have done it himself. Are you listening? God uses men and ladies to tell the gospel. The angels could have done it. Do you think the angels would have done a better job than us? Their infinite wisdom, okay? You know what's the difference between angels and us, Christians? What's the difference between angels and Christians? Angels are pure and holy, right? Are we pure and holy? We are! In Christ, we are! What's the difference between the angels and men, though? Christ didn't die for them, and so? Christ died for us, right? So what? So what's the difference? The angels don't understand salvation. They understand it in here, but they don't understand salvation. You know why? Because they are not sinners. They don't understand sin. If they don't understand sin, they scratch their head that their master should die for sinful men. Does it make sense? Okay? And so, why didn't God use angels to tell the gospel? Because they would just be very technical. They just tell you the details. You know what God wants us to do? Ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be theologians unto me. No, ye shall become Bible teachers unto me. No, ye shall become witnesses unto me. Why? You are a witness of what Jesus Christ has done for you. Thank God, today after service, we'll be hearing the witness of three people of what God has done in their lives. They can learn Bible lessons to tell you. But you know, God wants us who has experienced that change to tell someone else. Does it make sense? You know what that means? You okay? Does that make sense? That's why we need to go. If we don't go, who's going to go? Does that make sense? Okay, so we need to understand the process soul winning means we need to walk with God. And we need to go. 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 That's why Jesus says, go ye therefore and preach the gospel to every creature. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Go. Go. We need to go. That's what the Bible says. Okay, any questions? Okay, let's move on. Let's turn to and then from then on, let's turn back to John chapter 4. Okay, John chapter 4. John chapter 4. After Jesus says in verse 4, I must needs go to Samaria. And then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus therefore, being weary with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the 6th hour. So Jesus is 100% God. But in verse 6, it tells us that Jesus is 100% man, okay? He was tired. In verse number 7, then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Okay, the next step in the process is to break the ice. Break the ice, okay? We need to break the ice. A lot of people say, but Brother Johnny, very hard for me. It was hard for me too. Do you know how to make it easier for you to break the ice with someone? What do you have to do to break the ice with someone? Okay, you smile. Okay, what else? What else? Even before that, some people don't even want to smile because maybe by nature they are shy. So what do you have to do? When you want to learn table tennis for the first time, what do you do? Very scared of the bat. Very scared of the ball. Have you seen people when they play table tennis, all the ball come, you know, like a baby or a child. You're afraid that the ball will hit you. But what do you do even to learn something or do something? You need to? Nike slogan. What's a Nike slogan? Just do it. Just do it. Just do it. Can I say this as a Christian? Do you realize that God gave us the power of the universe in us? God the Holy Spirit Himself. And the reason why we don't share sometimes, I just put it there, is we fear man more than we fear God. Okay? Well, let's just put it, just go down to the spiritual area, because we're supposed to be spiritually minded. And God says, and one of the reasons why we don't share the gospel is because we're afraid of man. We're afraid of men. We need to overcome that. We need to break the ice. Okay, we need to break the ice. What do you do by breaking? What do you do to break the ice? Smiling. Okay, this is what I always do. I always find some common ground. So Jesus here said, "Give me to drink." Okay, talk about something. Sometimes you may just ask a person, "Do you have a pen?" Or what I use. What I always do in the lift and everywhere I go, I always say, "Hi." People think I'm a stranger, but after the second time when I say hi to the same person, they are okay already. Okay, in the lift, look. Generally, when you look at the person, like there was this Indian man that stays on the second floor. You know, at the end of the day, about 7 plus 8 p.m., sometimes 11 p.m., we come back from church. We've seen people still well dressed and all that. Then I'll just look at him and say, we just enter the lift. You look at me, I look at him, I smile, and all that. Just come back from work? Yeah. You know, it's something that's very general. And then I just say, bye. You know what I'm doing? Can I say this, For me, what the reason why I do that is not just to make friends. Lord, what's the next opportunity I have? Because he stays in the same block. What you're doing is breaking the ice. Breaking the ice. And by the way, you don't break ice the first time. Don't think of Brother Johnny saying must break ice. So break ice after that, must share gospel. No. Do it as a regular thing. everywhere. I think you understand what I'm saying, right? Be a friend here. And if you know that you're going to meet the person quite regularly, okay, there was this, this guy is, this Chinese man is very cute, and he said, he will tell you his life story, kind of, you know, those people live around your block, will tell you a life story and all that. And so I decided one time I will do a little bit, okay? I'll tell you the story later because it has points here. Okay, we need to break the ice, okay? We need to break the ice, okay? And which means that we can I say this? I learned this from my pastor in Australia. As Christians, we need to be thick-skinned. We sometimes need to be, that's from a practical area. We need to be a little bit of thick-skinned because a lot of us reflect on ourselves a lot. We are very afraid of what people will think about us. Agree? We are very afraid of what people will think about us. Can I say this? If that thought stops you from sharing the gospel, it must be repented of. Anything that stops anyone from coming to Christ or even sharing must be repented of, and we need to change our minds about that. Why? Because someone's soul is at stake. Okay, so that's something we need to get to. We need to break the ice. Okay, I know this. You've probably heard this before, but I believe from a spiritual perspective and God's perspective, we need to repent. There was one time when I was sharing the gospel, and I was a little, but God gave me one verse. Turn to Proverbs 29, verse 25. I gave this verse to my mom yesterday. She was, I don't want to share. But Proverbs 29:25. Okay, let's read together. This has to do with what we were talking about. Proverbs 29:25. Okay, let's read together. Ready? Proverbs 29:25. Ready? 1, 2, begin. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. If you are afraid of man, it brings your trap. You cannot do. You cannot do much for God. Does it make sense? That's what the Bible says. If you're afraid of man, you won't do much for God. But if you trust the Lord... By the way, what's the worst thing that someone can do to you when you talk to him at the bus stop or talk to her? What's the worst thing they can do to you? They can scold you, okay? What else? Okay, what else can they do to you? Ignore you, okay? Think you're crazy? Okay, but are you crazy? No, then don't accept whatever they are giving to you if it's not true. You know, this is a little bit of human thing, but you know, we whatever people say, sometimes we take it as truth. You're crazy. What do you mean you call me crazy? You know what you're doing? You're admitting you're crazy. That, right? Think about that. You know, sometimes when people do that, I just walk off. I'm not acknowledging what you're saying. I just want to share with you the gospel. You make it very clear in your heart. That's why when you walk with God, I'm not saying I work with God all the time. I have to. Okay, as a pastor, I have to. But you know, when your mindset is that, Lord, I'm doing your will. When you're doing the will of God and someone scolds you, remember what Jesus said? If they scold you, it's not they're scolding you, they're scolding him. Because he's trying to, you're revealing their sin or sharing the gospel. Okay? So, when someone says something offensive to you just because you're sharing the gospel, just say, thank you for your time. I'll tell you, that makes them even more angry. Right? They will. They get more angry. Alright? And they will try to, you know, I've learned, if people don't want to listen, then just thank them for their time and walk off and say, I'll be praying for you. God bless you. And I pray God's richest blessings on you. Sometimes I'll just say that. You know, it's like, what are you talking about? I don't even believe. You know why they get irritated? But you know what the Bible says? Don't fear, man. I can tell you, soul winning was very hard for me for many, many years, even as a pastor. Until recently. And I realized that it is not what you can do or who you are. It is what God can do through your life. In Acts chapter 4, the Bible says, they prayed for boldness to preach the word. And God gave them boldness. And they went everywhere just preaching. Many of them suffered the consequences. But they just did it. No. So that's something we need to break the ice, okay? Let's move on, alright? Let's move on to John chapter 4. After breaking the ice, it could be a smile. Usually, it's interesting. Generally, Singaporeans are not that bad. You smile, they smile back to you. Generally, okay? Not all. Some people think you're crazy or trying to do something. But generally, they'll smile back. And they say, usually I talk about going to market, 吃了, you know, Singaporeans 吃了. It's some of this line opener is so like 回去回家。
Now, of course, I'm going home. What do you think I'm doing? But it's a Singaporean way of talking.
Then be in the culture, you know, bring up something that is in the culture that you can bridge. And once you bridge that, then you start moving on, okay? Then John chapter 4, Jesus asked the lady in verse 7 to give her to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Remove the distraction. Verse 9, then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me? Which am a woman of Samaria, for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Okay, this was a prejudice that was brought out. Okay, now the lady, I wouldn't say attacked Jesus, but it just brought out a cultural thing that was difficult for them. Okay, now in verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knowest the gift of God, and who is it that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Jesus here is saying, look, and I don't want to try to paraphrase a lot here. In my mind, the next point is bringing the gospel. Bringing the gospel. And now I tell you the story. There was this man, I think he had a stroke before, he shared, and he had some medical problems, then he recovered. And now he's someone that, he's very open, he can talk to anyone, I can tell anyone he'll talk to, alright? About the language. He'll try to talk to everyone. So what happened was, I was sitting down, I was waiting for my family. I think they were doing something, they had to come down the void there. So I was talking to him. Then he was, you know, he always got story to tell. And so I listened to him for a while. Then he began to share his life story. He talked about the fact that his whole family is from Malaysia. His whole family is life of gamblers. Okay, from father all the way to, the children are runners. Loan sharks and all that. They're in Malaysia. Okay, so in Singapore, sorry, you're Singaporean. So what happened was, he shared that it came to a time when he was 16 years old, he realized, I don't want this kind of life. Because what he said was, all his life, he saw people gambling, he saw people being chopped up, literally because of loan sharking. That's in the 1970s in Singapore, all right? A lot of secret societies and all that kind of thing. All right? And so he was sharing all this kind of life. So he made a decision, I want to separate from my family. And he really just packed up at 16 years old and went to Malaysia. They couldn't contact him at all. He only called once in 2 weeks just to make sure the family is around. But he always used last time they got no handphone, no ID caller or whatever. No, I can see your face on the phone. So he called. The family couldn't get in touch. For 6 years, he ran away. I don't know how he escaped National Service. I don't know. That's what he said. Okay. But what he did was, after he was sharing, so I said, hey, I asked him, you know why people want to come and gamble now? So what I did was try to kind of, in Chinese, it's called tan, greed. 他们要赌博是因为 tan, it means they're very greedy. Go on and on and on and on. And so I began to then try to shift the conversation to the fact of the greed being inside. Does that make sense? Okay. So what I was trying to do is actually to shift the conversation into my favor. At the end of that, I actually asked him, do you go to church? Then you begin to say, no, I'm free thinker. So the conversation is shifted to church and things like that already. And then I gave him a track. Okay? I gave him that track. So, and he said, I go to any, he said, 全部一样, all the same, all the same. He said, no, 不一样. I said, not the same. So, but because he was open already, I could just talk to him. Okay? That's what I mean. I know, let's put this way. It does take practice, but we need to practice on a daily basis. You got friends? In school, students, you got friends? If you want, I can go to your school and then we sit down and say, hi, this way. Then you start off. Sometimes you can use someone as a prop to start off things. Then after that, we go out, you carry on. Or something like that. One of the things I was thinking of is, I think on a handphone, there's this, am I a good guy? How many of you have seen that what before? Am I a good guy? Okay, am I a good guy? Maybe, Joanna, can you find for me? Am I? So, it's just different ways of breaking the ice and things like that. Okay, I'm thinking of using this for evangelism here. But okay, so but you need to bring in the gospel. Okay, you need to bring in the gospel sometime or some relationship to Christianity. Listen, when you're talking to someone and you talk about the sky and the moon and the economy and Steve Jobs and Apple and Mac and HP and Dell. At the end of the conversation, you say you make good contact. You make good contact in terms of breaking the ice. But you know, as a Christian, when you want to share the gospel, you need to move away, not just talking about worldly events, your focus of talking to someone must be on sharing the gospel. We need to have a mindset and say, Lord, how in the world can I shift the conversation to sharing? You need God's wisdom for that. You need God's wisdom. But you know, your heart must be set on wanting to share. Your heart must be, this person, I want this person to be saved. That's why I want us in our ministry for next year onward, even for this youth camp or that, the focus, not just youth camp, but also for our children's ministry and all that, the focus must be on non-believers. Because if Christians already have their own churches, some of them, yeah, there's nothing wrong if they don't come for a church camp, whatever, there's nothing wrong with that. But our focus must be, we need to look out for sheep from other folds, John chapter 10. You know, look out for lost, the people who have never trusted Christ and they have never experienced the love of God. Does it make sense? There's a church, we must have their heart to be looking out for them. But for us, we must be ready to bring in the gospel as we are talking to them. So, how do you bring in the gospel? Sometimes you talk about, have you been to church before? Have you heard of Jesus? And say, no, I haven't. And then I'll try to actually kind of insert a little bit more. And usually at that time, they will tell you the one that you know. But if you keep going back, according to, I think Pastor John Yates in FBI, research have shown that you have to invite a person between 7 to 9 times before they actually come to church. Average, you have to invite a person between 7 to 9 times before they even come to church. You know what's the message? Don't give up so fast. Don't give up so fast. Okay? Brother Chai Heng is one. My wife has been hounding him ever since we started ABM and all that kind of thing. And he shared. He was very paisa because every time Auntie Lydia called, I say no. I say, okay, I go. The moment, the day he came, he gave himself back to God. Amen. Because there was a hounding. We need to hound in love. But you're actually irritating that, so okay. You know, can I say this? When someone pesters you, and you know that you got to do something, but you keep putting it off, but the person keep on going back, do you think the person is helping you? Or just trying to be an irritant to you? Do you know what I'm saying? If there's something in your life that you know is not right, but someone keeps talking about it, to try to encourage you to do that right, do you think he's helping you? You may feel that he is a pain in the neck, right? But you know what? The Lord Jesus Christ, can I say this? The Lord Jesus Christ never lets his children go. That's why when you come to church, if you feel convicted about something and you keep moving on and come back, God is going to, that one again. It's like a sprain in your ankle that just won't go away. It's like a pain in your back that doesn't go away. You have to deal with it. But Christians, sometimes we don't want to deal with those things. Why? Because it is inconvenient. It may involve a loss of reputation. But you know what? When God actually does that on us, we need to respond. As soul winners, what we are doing when we constantly speak to someone about Christ is not because we are very capable, it's because we love that person. Does that make sense? We need to think the Bible way. If we think the human way, we will always think, I don't want to waste time. But we need to keep on pestering. The word pester doesn't mean to irritate. Say, oh, you don't believe Jesus, you go to hell. Not that kind of pestering, alright? You can pester in different ways. Pester, use the word pester. You can be kind. You can help with the work. You can be sensitive. If the person is sick, you may want to buy something over, fruit juice or whatever, just to pester. Provoke one another to love and to good works. And the more you do that, what you're doing is you're breaking down barriers. Breaking down barriers. And sometimes when you break down barriers, it means that you will get cut yourself. Remember, my good friend Spurgeon mentioned, if you want to save someone in the waters, and you're going through the waters, you will get wet. And that's something that we need to understand. There is inconvenience in winning someone to Christ. But I can tell you, there's infinite joy. There's infinite joy. Alright? So we need to bring in the gospel. Any questions? Let's move on, right? Then the next one, we need to deal with sin. Okay, John chapter 4, verse 16. Now, that's painful. But as you go down, in verse 11, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and so on. And when you go down to verse 15, sirs, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come thither to draw. Now, the Samaritan woman obviously was saying, hey, Jesus has something that I want. I don't want to... the Samaritan woman's idea is, I come to this well to draw water, and I go in the afternoon. Why? Because I need the water, but I don't want the gossip. Alright? Everyone knows her life. She was an adulterous woman. And usually a woman comes in the morning to draw water. So she comes in the afternoon. But Jesus says, I give you water again, you will never thirst. So, well, that's even better. Then I don't have to come here. You know, initially it was selfish reason that she wanted this water. Can I say this? Many people come to Jesus because of selfish reasons. Which means that they may not be saved in the first place. Because salvation requires a repentance of sin. That's why the next verse, Jesus says, go and bring your husband. Jesus has to begin to deal with that. And notice one thing, the Lord Jesus may not have to deal directly. He just said, go and... Jesus just talked about her life. Go and bring your husband. She said, I have no husband. Jesus says, you're right. You got 5 husbands. And the one you're living with is not your husband. You know this lady, we need to bring in sin. Now, I want to make it clear, when we deal with sin, we don't point fingers, you know, at the person. When I have, if I have a broken knee, you don't have, hey, broken knee, broken knee. I already know I have a broken knee. In terms of, okay, just listen to this, for a person to come to a realization of the need of a Savior, number one, they must realize how sinful sin is. They must realize how sinful sin is. How many of you read today's newspaper, first page? Front page. I have to cut out that page. Alright? So that my children don't see it. It's absolutely, I'm just reporting on how today people use handphones to send messages that are explicitly immoral. How many of you read that? Do you realize it's a sad thing when I read the statistics? The question is, do you think it's immoral? 77% of the respondents said, no, it's not immoral for me to send this kind of messages. Watch your iPhones, watch your Samsung, watch your Blackberries, especially for young teenagers. 77% of people say it's okay. Everyone will go back and try to read that one. It's okay to send those morally or immorally explicit photographs over there. We have a generation that don't think sin is, they think sin is okay. We have church people who think they're playing with sin, disobedient to God, it's okay. I told a man yesterday, one thing for me as pastor, I cannot tolerate personally is when the doctrines of Christ is being compromised. To me, it's high treason. We betray Christ when we don't stand for what is right. I want us to also have that kind of attitude. I will not disobey God at any point, because how can I hurt someone whom I love? Does that make sense? And so translate that as being a soul winner, understanding this, our culture feels that sin is okay. So what if I sleep with someone? So what if I say that word? So what if I do this? You know? I remember that there's this lady who blurted out a 4-letter word at the end of so-called a speech. And there's always pros and cons. It's okay. It's just a kind of it's not an expression. It's a corruption. Can I say this? If Esther Joy listens to that, you know what she was doing? The next thing will come out from her. That's how sin works. You see evil. Parents, you be careful what you tell your little children. Everything that comes from television will come out. You know how I know your family, what your family is doing? I don't have to see what your family is doing. I just look at your children. What kind of things they do, what kind of things they say, is a reflection of what's inside the family. Oh, I expose everyone already. My family is also open. You know, as a church, we need to be open and honest and saying, if there's sin, let's deal with it. Because we cannot win souls if we don't deal with that. Okay? And so in this situation, we need to bring up sin. Okay? What I'm saying is that in our culture today, many people don't think sin is that bad anymore. Well, it's okay to blurt out. It's okay to socially drink. It's okay to blurt out a bad word. It's okay to tell a dirty joke. It's okay to laugh at that. It's okay to not serve God in some way. No, it's not. No, it's not. No, it's not. If you are the Heavenly Father, how would you feel? And so in this culture that says it's okay to sin, Do you realize they're dying, going to hell? Unless they repent. We need to understand in our sharing the gospel, it's not just presenting the gospel. There must be heart change. Otherwise, you'll die and go to hell. Anyway, Judas Iscariot is in hell now. But that should sober us a little bit. It's not the prayer that saves, it's the heart that changes and trust Christ that gets saved. Alright, and so as a soul winner, we must understand that it's so important to help the person understand. I'm not in a hurry to win people I'm in a hurry to win people to Christ, but I'm not in a hurry to force them to make a decision. You know why? They must absolutely understand. So for my mom, it took 3 months. Go through the gospel. At an older age, it may be harder to understand. The 70-year-old man that I'm working with, you realize, even up to now, he understands the gospel bit by bit. And he's still going back. He's always, you know, the Catholic Church, you always read prayers, right? It's very interesting when I say, so-and-so, why don't you pray? You know what he'll do? He'll open he writes his prayers. And so he say, Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing Brother Johnny. Because in the Catholic Church, you're taught to read prayers, right? And on prayer, I actually share with her, you just tell God what's on your heart. It was very hard for him, but you know what? I'm glad he's trying. Because God just wants what comes from our hearts. Okay? Now, why am I saying all this? As in a culture that thinks that sin is okay. Do you realize how hard it is to win someone to Christ? If we think that just by one prayer they're saved, we're sadly mistaken. You know what's the evidence of a person who is saved? They just begin to read the Bible. They want to come to church. They want to do right. When there's a heart for spiritual things, then you have to keep praying that it will be genuine. Because it can go up, it can go down. Okay? And so as a soul winner, you must always be mindful that you hold the power of the gospel, that when this person truly trusts Christ, his entire life or her entire life will be transformed. But until then, the devil will fight you every inch. And that's why your life must be absolutely right before God, okay? But you have to deal with sin. You have to bring out sometimes. And sometimes, I did wrong. And when it's not saying that sin is wrong. It's knowing that I have done wrong. That I'm a sinner before God. Can I say this? If you are here today and you have trusted Christ, just say, I know Jesus is my Savior, without understanding sin. Sin is an absolutely important thing. Jesus died because of sin. And so as a faithful soul winner, you have to present the bad news first, and then you present the good news. Alright? Okay, any questions? Then in John chapter 4, verse 25, Joanna, don't. you got it already? Okay, you hold it first. Alright, then after that, Jesus brought up sin, okay? And of course, the lady in verse 19 said, I perceive the doubt prophet. Some people believe that this lady is changing the subject. No, he's not. She's getting convicted. She is actually getting convicted. Last time I used to think she's trying to change the subject. But from water, it's now moving on to spiritual things. This lady is no longer changing. She's actually getting convicted. Okay? And in verse 21, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Okay. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When He is come, He will tell us all things. And so this Jesus actually brought up, she actually brought up the idea of the Messiah. They're looking for a Savior. Can I say this? When you, by God's grace, do you see why the Bible says he that winneth souls is wise? Do you realize how much you have to go through to get to the person to understand? The key thing is the person must understand sin, and he must come to a realization that he needs a Savior. Okay. Finally, in verse 26, Jesus actually said, I that speak unto thee am he. And what happened? The next point is, we must point to the Savior. We must bring in Jesus. I can tell you, the moment you mention Jesus Christ in our tracting or whatever, let's say, I'm not interested, close the door. You know what we do? We walk off. Okay? You know, that's our tracting. What about in our personal relationships? Let me ask you, would you dare to bring up Jesus Christ with your colleagues? if you say, Brother Johnny, I want to show you how, because sometimes you must be sensitive, but you know, at the same time, you must be able, you must be willing to sound out Christ where you live, in your families. How in the world are people going to get saved if they don't know the Savior? Of course, you need to pray for wisdom, how to prepare the ground. You know, sometimes it may be that you may need to just talk a little bit more to prepare the ground about sin, about the second coming, about whatever, before you bring in Jesus. But do we dare to bring in Christ in our workplace? I'm praying for a church that has people who love God and say, God, it's not just going to be on Sunday or privately in my house. Everywhere I go, Christ will be lifted up. In my attitudes, in my words, in what I say. And when people look at me, I think you can trust that person. Just talk to him. I think he's a Christian. The moment they say that, you can trust the person, he's a Christian. You've won a battle. And then don't aim for that. Aim for, Lord, I want to be faithful to you. Aim for, I want to be faithful to you. And then you know what? As you begin to move out, you will be able to introduce Christ without any problem. Okay? And finally, you must draw the net. Okay? You must draw the net. The idea of draw the net means when a person acknowledges Christ, say, would you like to get saved? But you must have wisdom from God. Okay? Wisdom from God. Soul winning is not a presentation of the gospel alone. Just like if I want to fight to win a battle, those are things Roy will understand, fresh from BMT and charging uphill perhaps. In order to occupy this area, to fight, you have to overcome obstacles. You got to die, you got to shoot, you got to aim, you got call reinforcements, you got to whatever. And the job is not done until it's done. And even after you captured a particular ground, you actually have to continue, because in army it's very straightforward. Whenever you capture a ground, you always expect what? What do you expect? Counter-attack. Whenever, listen carefully, whenever you win someone to Christ, you expect counter-attack. You must expect that. Satan will not give up any soul without a fight. That's why we need every church member on board to follow up someone after they are saved. Why? Satan comes in immediately. You know, we're going to have people trusting Christ. I can't follow all of them up. We need people who will say, Lord, if this is your work, I will care for these new souls. Of course, Jairus is in my house, so it's easy for me. But what about another person, another family? Oh, we need the more mature and say, the moment they make a decision for Christ, Satan comes in with the attack. You mark it down. The trend over time is when the soul is saved. I think you know. After they are saved, they come to church. After a while, you don't come anymore. Then, you know, it's so hard to pull them back. You know why? Satan will give distractions. They give unfulfilled needs, etc., etc., etc. And Satan comes in. We need to understand, it's not just a soul winning, it's a following up as well. We need people. Maybe if this wasn't in my mind, but you know what? I hope you can understand God's heart on this. That's why God says, teach them, baptize them, disciple them. And then when they are strong, they can go out and do the same. One of the vision for Ambassador, I shared with the man yesterday, is towards a discipleship church. There are 9 visions I shared with the man yesterday. One of them is a discipleship church. A church that says a person that is saved is just a little baby. If Ruth is just born into this world and Sister Felicia just lets him kind of just eat whatever on the ground, you can eat the ants, you can eat the, she won't do that. There will be proper meal for the person. Why? Because they need to grow. We have discipleship programs. People are involved in daily in the word. We have the discipleship. You know, sometimes you say, every time I come to church, I hear this. Can I say this? I just want to share my heart on this. I'm not concerned for numbers. I'm concerned that Christians live for God now. And when you live for God now, the numbers will come. Because Jesus says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. The principle is to follow Jesus in your daily life, in your attitudes, in your actions, in your family life, in your husband and wife life, in your parent-child life, in everything that you do, is to follow Jesus. I can tell you through that, the more you follow Christ, to then win souls, it becomes a natural thing for you. Okay? Any questions up to there? Any questions? I'll just quickly go through other considerations as we finish this part. I wanted to practice, but I'll just go through. Okay? The process of soul winning, we need to walk with God. You need to go. You need to break the ice. You need to bring in the gospel. You need to deal with sin. You need to point them to the Savior. You need to draw the net. Okay? Other considerations before we close. Who are the most receptive people? Generally, those who experience major change or problems in their life. Okay, this is just a general principle. Anyone is a potential for Christ. Okay, anyone. You can speak to anyone. You'll be surprised, okay? The person with the two metal things in the nose, the thing hanging down, and maybe a mohawk kind of hairstyle. It's always amazing for me that these people who look so strong and muscular, we talk to them, say, how are you? You know, they would talk like, it's like, you're not gentle.
I think you understand what I'm saying.
Right? Muscular and no one has stay away from me kind of thing, you know. Say, how are you?
Oh, hi, how are you doing?
And it's like, it's just the outside, you know. Remember, deep inside is a soul that needs God, amen? Deep inside is still a soul that needs God. We can, a lot of people act tough. Can I say the people who act the toughest? Think about that. The people who try to act the toughest are the people with the most needs. Christians, think about that. The person who acts the toughest, I need to be in control of the situation. I need to be showing everyone that I can do this. You know why? Because they have deep needs. That if they just go to God, they can get it fulfilled. Does that make sense? Okay? Deep needs. Needs. Needs inside their heart. People who are like macho and try to kind of cover up everything. You know, I'm okay, no problem, kind of thing. You know what? They are the ones with the deepest needs. And sometimes as Christians, we need to... I learned one thing from my manager. He says, you know, sometimes people talk so much. He says, Johnny, I'm trying to get rid of the noise. When people talk, there's a lot of noise. You understand what I'm saying? People can talk for 20 minutes. They're only trying to say one thing. I need help. But it will go around from Timbuktu to America to US and economy lah, this lah, that lah. But actually, they're saying, actually, I need help. You know, as Christians, we need to be good listeners. Amen? We need to be able to listen and get rid of the noise and go straight for the problem. That's why he that winneth souls is wise. Where does wisdom come from? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Can you see how soul winning? You can't win souls. You need to go back to fearing God first. And God will give you that wisdom to win someone to Christ. Does it make sense? Okay? So, to close. Okay, something. Show compassion for the individual. I think we'll bring it. Don't condemn the Lord. Don't say, you worship idols. Are you going to hell? Are you better come to Jesus. When you say that, you push people away further from Christ. Amen? Right now, who of you are? How dare you say I'm going to hell? Worship idol? Who are you? You Christian? Are you? You know what? We slander the name of Christ. All right. The Bible. Can I say this? The Bible says Jesus did not come to earth to condemn the sinners. You know why? I said it before. I said they're condemned already. They're condemned already. So why are you going through this role again? You know what? The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. They that are whole don't need a physician, but they are sick. Why does Jesus ask us to go seek the lost? Because they are lost. And we're not better than them. I think we all know that. We're not better than them. Let's face it, we have problems of our own. But when Jesus Christ comes into our life, we say, we cannot but share the gospel with someone else. Okay? Don't condemn the lost. Alright? You can go through those verses, John chapter 3, 17, Luke chapter 9. And now, don't try to educate the lost on doctrine. Okay? Don't try to teach them Reformed theology. The church should be like that. No, go for the soul. I can tell you, if you go to the doctor and you have a fever, you're not going to be interested in what he did or his philosophy of life. I go to a doctor, why? I want to get health so I get better.
I don't worry about your philosophy or life. I just want to get help from you.
The same way when you win soul, don't educate on doctrine. Don't go straight for the gospel. It disciplines us as Christians to focus. Okay, does that make sense? Okay, the next one. Don't try to educate the lost on doctrine. One more, last one. Be prepared. Be prepared by prayer. Let's turn to Ephesians 6. Okay, well, we'll close with this. Ephesians 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Part of the armor of God. Anyone know what I'm going to talk about? Be prepared. Which piece in the armor of God talks about preparation? You need to know the armor of God, guys. Which piece in the armor talks about preparation? 15. Okay, verse 15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's interesting. You know why? In the Christian, as a Roman soldier last time, they would have the helmet. Okay, that's to protect the head. They would have the breastplate, that's to protect the body. They have the belt to hold things together. Okay, they have the sword to fight. They have the shield to defend. You know one more thing they have? Roman soldiers in those days, they fight. When they fight, they travel over terrain or ground that is very rocky and stony. They need shoes. You know what the Bible says? As a Christian soldier, you must know your salvation. Helmet of salvation. Your breastplate of righteousness must be on to protect the heart. You know how you protect the heart? By doing right all the time. And therefore, when people will attack you on your character, you already have the breastplate of righteousness on. You need the shield of faith, because when the devil put doubts into your mind about your salvation, the shield of faith will block those. You say, Jesus is not a son of God. The shield of faith comes out and says, no, the Bible says, John 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. That refers to Jesus. I have the shield of faith. Then I must have the belt of truth. Alright, truth is on two levels. One is doctrinal truth, whereby the belt holds everything together, more or less. In those days, it does. Everything hangs on the belt. If the belt is loose, and that's it, you're kokala, you will drop your pants, and you'll be exposed and you'll be shamed, okay? Truth on two levels. One is doctrinal truth. Another one is the truth of your life. I say again, one is Bible truth that you hold on to, and another one is the honesty of your life. Let's put it this way. If we try to do what is right for God and our life is dishonest, guess what? You think God will bless our ministry? No, cannot. We must be clean vessels. And so we need to put the belt of truth. Alright? Then we need the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We need to know the Bible. That's why we need to read. That's why some of us cannot fight the devil. You know why? Our sword is those in McDonald's you used to spread. You can't quit break already. Cannot. We need the sword of the Spirit. You know, last of all, we need the shoes. As much as you have all the armor ready, you know what? If you're going to fight on terrain that has a lot of rocks, it's going to be very hard for you to move far. Why? You get cuts on your leg. That's why every Christian soldier must have shoes. You know shoes for what? Ready to preach the gospel. Preparation of the gospel of peace. That everywhere you go, you're going forward to fight. You fight the devil and you rescue people from the depths of hell. As you stand wherever you are in your workplace, in your study room, or as you stand for Christ, as you're standing and fighting your spiritual battles, you're at the same time ready with the gospel of peace to pull someone up from the depths of hell. Does that make sense? Everywhere we go, we need to do that. Okay, so as we close, we need to be prepared. I'll just close with this. In conclusion, can I just put a challenge? Okay, maybe I put it on you. How do we practice this? Go think about it. Okay, just think about how do we practice what we've done here. How do we practice that? We won't discuss this, but I want you to practically think. Let the Holy Spirit do that. How do you practice that? If anyone needs, if you want, you can join me for tracting or things, or my wife or some of the people who bought tracking.
just actively see how we speak to the people. And sometimes it's just putting a track, but sometimes, you know, it does involve talking to people. Lord willing, as we close, I'm praying, and I hope you all pray together. There are four outreach teams, hopefully. Quite team. This is so popular now, the catchphrase. Team so and so. Okay. So, but I'm praying that we'll get four teams. Sembawang team, Yishun team, Woodlands team, and Marsiling team for outreach. We need men to drive those as we grow. Because if we don't go out, the church will die. You mark it down. Because we lose our purpose for existence. The evangelism is God's will for the church. And we need people. Why so winning? This particular month is on the call of God and the servant, call of God and on the life of the servant. And part is to reach out. I'll just read this as I go, as we finish. If there existed only one man or woman who did not love the Savior, and if that person lived among the wilds of Siberia, okay, far away, and if as it were necessary that all the millions of believers on the face of the earth should go there, and everyone plead with him to come to Jesus before he could be converted, it would be well worth all the zeal, all the labor, and all the expense. If we were to preach the gospel to thousands year after year, and never rescue but one soul, that one soul will be full reward for our all labor. If we spend the 18,000 tracts and only one person come to Christ, in the eyes of the world, it's inefficient. The Bible says, the angels in heaven rejoice. Let's put eternity in perspective. I know we work hard. But sometimes, Brother Johnny, you know, work hard, we need to have outcome. Yes, I know. Soul saving, outcome, doesn't belong to us. God is the one who gives the increase. But you know what? We need to plow. We need to plow. We need to plow. We need to plow. And I repeat what I mentioned at the beginning. If anyone will go to hell, let them go to hell with our hands wrapped around their knees. Please don't go. If anyone will go to hell, let them jump over our bodies to get to hell. Let us be the block force. Let us be the ones that... No, don't go there. Jesus loves you. Let us be the one. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time. I just ask, Lord, that Thy Holy Spirit will speak to us in a deep manner. And that God, we will love souls with all our hearts. And Lord, it is because of this love that You came to planet Earth to save us from our sin. So that we don't have to go there. Oh God, take away selfishness from our lives. Take away self-will. Take away pride. Take away what we selfishly want. And Lord, put fear of God. Lord, help us to love You more, to draw closer to You more, that others might see Jesus in us. Thank You for what You're going to do. Father, I pray that an ambassador will be pleasing in Your sight. Help us, Lord, to be the soul winner for You. That we might be a wise church. We pray in Jesus' name.